I want to take a few moments to reflect on that reading from Matthew's Gospel. You know, it is something to be said for a community of people who are seeking to be followers of Jesus to actually be seen to practice what they preach, don't you think? Oftentimes the criticism that is launched and leveled against churches is that we are hypocrites, that we say one thing and do another thing. That could be true of everyone, really. It is true of everyone to some extent. But I think that the reason that it attracts in the church community so much of that kind of criticism is because we serve someone who calls us to greater ideals, to greater standards, and greater practices. And it is that we aspire to be that and to do that. And so the text today from Matthew is a similar one. It's an invitation. It is a not coercion, but really an attempt to seduce us into the way of Jesus. And we have to remember the context of the chapter. The chapter is talking about recovering the lost, finding ways to be reconciled. That's the theme. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep, leaving the 99 and going out. And it tells us that every single person, from the youngest child to the oldest person, is invaluable in the sight of God and necessary for the community of faith for us to be together. But it is hard work. And we talked about that last week, about laboring in our hospitality. And this week, Jesus outlined a particular way that we are to be together, especially when there are conflicts. Because conflict, it's not a matter of whether or not there will be conflict between people in families or even in a church. It is a question of when will there be conflict. Conflict is inevitable. It is the way in which communities of people bump up against each other in various ways. So what Jesus is saying is not that there will be some perfect community, and Matthew certainly does not imagine that in his gospel, but rather says that when problems happen, when offenses take place, here's a strategy, here's the way to do it. Why? Because the goal is reconciliation. So if someone sins, and some of the manuscripts do not include against you, so it could be if they do something that is perceived by the community as something wrong, what you're to do, firstly, is to go to that person privately. Is that the way we normally do things? Well, maybe not here at Parkdale. You know, Parkdale, we're pretty good, but maybe some other congregations, you know what I mean. But, you know, sometimes when something happens, the first thing that we do is not go to the person and say, you know, you've hurt me. I really didn't appreciate what you said or what you did or how you treated that person. We sometimes go, rather, to somebody else, to a friend, and we gossip and we stir the pot and we try and get them to join us against this person and that person. Do you recognize that? Well, maybe you read about it in a novel. I know it doesn't happen here, but it is something that Jesus is calling his community of faith not to be about. It is not trying to triangulate, trying to get other people against this person. Why? Because that defeats the goal of reconciliation. And when you go and you speak to the person, the hope is always, it says, that they may listen, that they may respond. Because in so doing, you create the possibility that you will now win a friend, win a brother, a sister. Now, if that doesn't work, and here some people say, well, you know, I know how some people think, not the ones here at Parkdale, you know, but some people think, well, you know what, I'll go through that duty. I'll perform that perfunctory duty. I'll go to them and say, okay, you know, you really messed with me there. I didn't like what you did, you know, in a tone like that too, you know. So you know they're not going to respond in a very conciliatory way and say, okay, I did my piece. Now let me go and bring some others to be on my side and witness. Right? No, the whole purpose and thrust to bring others to witness is to not witness in a litigious way or a way that is going to see forensically who said what and so forth, but come and witnesses to that possibility of reconciliation. Witness to the presence of God. Witness to the peace that is possible to transform people. And I want to suggest to you, because we remember in Corinthians, Paul talks about the fact that this is Jesus' urgent message. It is a ministry of reconciliation, because the whole goal of God is reconnecting and connecting rather than separating. We are separated so often from ourselves, from each other, and from the world, from our environment. We lived in detached relationships. And God's mission and urgent desire is to reconnect us to each other, to ourselves, and to God. So that ministry of reconciliation employs people, a wider number to come. Again, remember, first you go to the person, then you bring others, and it's still small. It's still not everybody's business. It's a small opportunity because you know when something has happened, when something wrong has taken place, it's much easier and better to deal with it in a conciliatory way with a few people. The more people get involved, what happens? I know, not here, but we've read about it in stories. Yes, the more people get involved, things get out of hand. And so the invitation is to find the best ways and to pray together, to try to witness to the reconciling grace of God to make that person and those people reform and return. Now, let me be clear, because I don't want to appear to be saying that every circumstance is the same. There's some things that people do in a community of faith that it is not possible for the injured person to go to that one. It is not possible. Some cases of abuse, some cases of extreme violence, it is just not recommended that you go and confront that person necessarily in all circumstances. But here again, the goal is to involve as few people, but as caring and prayerful people as possible within the community to go and to bring that person indeed to transformation. Yes, to bring justice if it is reporting them to authorities, but it is also not seeing that as the last duty or the final word. It is always holding out the hope that there will be a rapprochement, a reconciliation that takes place. And this has implications not only for interpersonal relationships, for our community of faith together, but also for nations. Why must the first stance when something happens, when someone, some nation is aggrieved, to saber rattle, to threaten, to come out on the offensive, as it were? Is it not a place and a time to find a solution that may indeed bring those countries closer together rather than further apart? I would suggest that this is also, we might call it a sacrament. For if we claim as a community of faith to be those following Jesus in the way of Jesus to build reconciliation, suppose then that conflict and the way we deal with conflict is a witness not only to the community but to others about how this ought to be done. That we are actually, it doesn't have to detract from our mission. It actually is part of our mission. The way we treat each other and respond to each other is part of our Christian calling and mission. And it is a sacrament because through that, lenses of God's grace may be seen. I have to tell you, over my life, I find that in order to understand the love and forgiveness of God, it comes best when I am challenged to practice it in difficult circumstances. Don't you find that? We find ourselves sometimes too quick to judge and too quick to blame other people. Scott Peck, in his book, People of the Lie, he talks about evil. And doing wrong things or misdeeds or sin is not the same as the evil he talks about. He talks about people who participate with evil are those who chronically and in a protracted way fail and refuse to admit their own wrong and their own participation in conflict and hurt. They always blame other people, always see other people, and cultivate a culture of scapegoating so that they are never touched with any objective perspective on their own lives. They participate in evil because what that does is perpetuate a distorted view of reality. And so the invitation here in this text, I believe, is for us to be honest about how we are grieved. And when you go and talk to the person, and when you bring others into that perspective, you know what you may discover? You may discover that you have not seen it clearly. You may discover that you may have been overly sensitive and you were not really aggrieved, that it was some perception that you misunderstood. And the witness of others helps to clarify that. And there again, we have been gifted with an opportunity to have our eyes open, our faith enlivened, and the community rebuilt. I think this is good news and it is good wisdom. If we would help each other practice it, help one another. Let's not gossip. Let's not try to bring other people onto our side against someone. Let us use the resources of the church to bear witness to the reconciling grace of God, to the things that are possible when people employ Jesus who fixes it. Jesus will fix it. At the last part of that text, it says, where two or three are gathered, they gather together in prayer, I will grant that. The context is, I will grant the reconciliation you need. I will grant the truth you need to tell yourself. I will grant the restoring of relationships that is possible when you practice these ways of gentle grace, of open heart, of non-judgmentalism. That is good news and good wisdom for us. We recognize ourselves in the novel, in the story, don't we? The possibilities of God's good word. And so, this is how one, I feel that we can be properly webbed together. Alec and Ryan, Kristen, can I come ask you to come? We're going to get webbed together. Because sometimes we need to be reminded that we are, let's put that in, pass it all the way to the back. Come, Ryan. Hold on over here. Stand over there. Make sure they grab some. Grab hold. Everybody grab hold of some, please. We're making a kind of a spider web here. And we need someone at the back. Alec? Here you go, Alec. Pass it on. Pass it on. Pass on the web. Everybody grab something. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There we go. Get webbed. Get webbed. You don't want to take a lot of time here. They'll tell me you're taking too much time getting webbed up. Just crisscross, crisscross. We'll just keep going while we crisscross and get webbed up together. Derek, where's Derek? There's Derek. Derek is going to invite us to our time of offering while we continue to web together.
God connects us together. Just take a look around at everybody here and then multiply that by all the people we know and love. And the people they know and love, and it just spreads out to the whole world. That is why what we do, who we are, and how we share matters so much. When we offer ourselves to God so God can use us, that matters. When we take our money and an offering to God for use in this congregation and the local neighborhood, that matters. Let us give generously to what God is doing through us and our connections. The offering will now be received.